Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
There was a few minutes to go. I think it was a 3rd and 8. Catch by Mallory. Looked like it might have wobbled from our perspective. You decided not to challenge that. But I think you had 3 timeouts at that point. Did you consider that? What went into that decision?
We were waiting to see the replay. Never really got a clear shot of it, so I didn't challenge it.
Six Rings Post Game Show rolls on here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM, WEEI, all across our fabulous network of affiliates, WEEI.com, and of course the Odyssey app, where you can hear Coach Gerard Mayo doing something I believe Bill Simmons, the sports guy, Boston sports guy, has called previously coaching scared. Now, of course, he did try to challenge last week, I believe it was in Miami, a catch made by Jalen Waddell, which looked very clearly like the earth or the field turf or whatever playing surface they have down there at Hard Rock Stadium, assisted in the catch. Granted, there was a defensive penalty on the play, so I didn't think necessarily at the time that it was the wisest of challenges, because if you lose the challenge, they get the catch and you lose a timeout and you can't really challenge again. And if you gain it, what, you save yourself a couple yards, but your team still made a foolish penalty. Here, this could have been a big difference, Andy, and I can't help but wonder, you know, if maybe he lost it last week, and so this week, was he, like I said, coaching scared, or was this a case of maybe now he's a little gun-shy on the challenges because of what happened last week?
It's certainly a possibility. He has been a reactionary pendulum of a head coach in a lot of ways, in a lot of areas. So that's certainly a possibility. I'll take him at his word and say they didn't get a good replay that they wanted or needed. I thought it was a catch. I thought
you did. You know, okay.
Yeah, I thought. Now, doesn't mean you don't challenge it. Because I do think there was a consideration, and we just talked about it. I think all officials stink, and that includes replay officials, so there's a chance you could steal one there or get one there. But, yeah, I thought it was a catch, but apparently he didn't get the look he needed to get the words from Evan Rothstein or whoever up top to give him the green light to challenge. So that's part of this loss. And the issue is here, and we talk about this a lot, there's been a lot of these plays over the years in wins that just get brushed under the rug because you win and you make enough plays to overcome it, whatever. These get magnified for bad teams in tough games and losing seasons and losing streaks like this. And Gerard Mayo is going to face these. Actually, he'll be lucky to face these every week, because you know when you don't really face these?
When you get relieved of your job?
Well, yes, that's another example. That's not happening, so no. Put that away. But when you get blown out, if you lose 55-6, no one analyzes a challenge in the second half, this, that, or anything, because you were non-competitive. They were competitive in this game. You know, it's another situation where it's similar to you let Geno Smith drive it down your throat, you let Anthony Richardson drive it down your throat. Like, defense can't get off the field. You had a winnable football game. But I would argue, I'd go back, I still think the post-interception drive lost this football game. And Bill Simmons is not, I mean, virtually anyone who's watched the Patriots play this year has said it seems like they coach scared, mm-hmm. or they coach not to lose rather than to win. Mm-hmm. And that was a situation there where I thought you seemed like you barely wanted to have the ball. It was like, yeah, we'll punt. We'll be fine. First punt of the day. We'll give it back and we'll play defense, whatever. No. Put your foot on your throat. Put the game away. You had the opportunity to put the game away, and you didn't. And in the end, you lost it.
And I'm so glad you bring that up again, because we're going to have to keep hitting on that throughout the remainder of the post game. That's a chance, you know, as we've discussed time and again, how the Patriots need to put Drake May in a bunch of different simulations and let him figure out how to win games, how to prepare for fourth down here, how to prepare for third and goal, how to try to seal things off during winning time, how to prevent losing. And how you do that? You go for it. You play ballsy. You play aggressively. You play to win, not, hello, you play to win the games. You don't play not to lose, because playing Correct. Not to lose is losing football all the time. More on all that in just a second. Let's get back to the phones. Andy, the good people of Pats Nation are lined up once again. Sorja, all the way down in fabulous, beautiful Mansfield, calling the Six Rings postgame show. Hello, Sorja.
Bitsy Hart, how are we today?
Oh, we're hanging in there, my guy. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Really quick here. I mean, this 2024 season has been so crazy that Hart is the positive guy on the show, and Fitzy, you're like the pessimistic guy. So, you know, we've really come full circle here.
Yep.
But really quick here, guys. I just think that, like, it's just that, you know, Jerron Mayo said something that was so crazy to me where he said that progress isn't always in a straight line, and I just don't really know what that means, and I just don't understand how hard it is not to hold and, like, not have these false start penalties. And it just goes back to the fact that these are happening in the red zone, and I like the fact that we lost for the draft pick, but I just think, like, Drake May deserves better, right? Gonzo getting that basically should have ended the game with the interception, and then you go three and out. And, you know, we have had this discussion, I think, of whether or not Mayo is gone at the end of the year. And I think he deserves another season, but he is not doing a good job, you know, kind of like making the argument that you should bring him back. And the thing that I do not like at all is how you mentioned this, right? Like, these holding penalties are not on the officials, right? We're doing the same thing every single week, and I just hope that after the bye, when we come back, that we see less and less of these penalties. Because for me, I think everything you have to look at with this Patriots team is macro. And really quick here, Elliot Wolf is really on the hot seat this offseason because we know what needs to be done, right? We need a third and one back. Like, every time the Patriots line up for third and one, it seems like they have to reinvent the wheel just to get 1 yard, right? You know you have to beef up the offensive line, bring in competent receivers, and really rebuild this defense, right? There is literally no depth at any position, and every single starter shouldn't be, like, a starter. Not a starter, but, like, they shouldn't be the first on the depth chart. So,
right. Okay, thank you very much, Sorge. Appreciate the call. Yes, there is a lack of depth on the defense for sure. The Patriots' defense was hit pretty hard. But also, Andy, I would like to point out two-thirds of what I've been referring to as the spine of the defense, Christian Barmore and Jabril Peppers back today. Guess what? Still gave up 25 points. Okay, that's not that bad. It's not great. It's not that bad. But when they needed someone to make a play, when they needed a sack, when they needed a pressure, when they needed a ball batted away, when they needed somebody to come through in the clutch, no one came through in the clutch.
Nope. And I think it comes back to talent. Like, coming through in the clutch is usually where talented people make plays. You know, Sorge is talking about holds. I think that some of that comes down to talent. When you're getting beat, you hold. When you are beating someone, when your, you know, feet are moving properly, the Mike Onwenu one was a perfect example. His feet were behind the guy he needs to block. So he's out in front, so now I have to reach. Now they see that. Now it opens up that opportunity for a little tug, a little change of direction, and the officials from behind say, I got to call that. I got to throw that. That was part of that play. So it's a slight improvement that they were all holding calls today, I would say, on Vidarian Lowe and Laden Robinson, because at least those are competitive penalties, not the non-competitive false starts or illegal formations we've been having. Although we did have, I'd still like to see it, because I'm not sure what they called on the illegal formation on, I think, DeMario Douglas late.
Yeah, they were saying he never got set.
Yeah, why does he have, like, to set?
Wasn't
guy
he in motion?
Doesn't have to set. So right. I they didn't. They showed a close up. I needed to zoom out, because even Adam Archuleta was like, wait, what did they call there? Why does he have
same
to set?
On the radio broadcast? They were as I was listening, driving into the station. They were saying the same thing. Like, wait a second. He's in motion. Why does he have to come?
Something. There must have been two men in motion.
There should be an illegal shift every time Mike McDaniel runs a play in Miami at that point.
Right, which there isn't. So there must have been two men in motion or something. I need a all-22 crew to break that down for me. But
also, this officiating crew was going for the dramatic side. You know, illegal shift, pause for effect. Oh, yeah. Offense, number three.
Yeah, like, hey, wait a second. What are you guys auditioning for, a Chiefs game in the playoffs?
Well, they know it's a crappy football game, so they're—I mean, it's kind of like Archuleta and the other guy. It's like, damn, we're doing the Patriots for the third time in 4 weeks.
Spiro Dietis.
Spiro Dietis.
The other guy. Well, you can't—you get, the sideline gal wrong. It's a DD.
I get Adam Archuleta right.
One out of three, guy. You're the one watching the copy at home.
I don't know the other guy's name.
Spiro Dietis.
Adidas.
I didn't say. All right, everyone who's on hold right now, Bill, Jake, Jake. Ooh, two Jakes. Sequel to which movie, Andy? Chinatown.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember there was Jake and the Fat Man?
That it was the television show.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was about. I just remember the title.
All right. You learn so much when you call into the Six Rings Postgame Show. It was about a detective named Jake and his assistant, the Fat Man.
Was he? Did he have a fat assistant?
He did.
But not like Turner and Hooch. Well, that, I remember Turner and Hooch.
No, that was a person. That was a cop and a
guy
dog.
And a dog.
Yep. That spoiler alert, Hooch dies.
617-779-7937
is the telephone number. All of your calls and more of this ongoing debate, plus I promise we will get to Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down. Mego's calling in later. I am going to give you the couple of names that I've picked out of players I think that have impressed me enough that they can come back next year as well. But first, speaking of somebody who can come back next year, all your trending sports news and more with the great Joe Braverman.
And use their athleticism. May puts a man into it. It's caught. Hooper. Touchdown. Drake May dropping a beautiful dime. He finds the soft spot between the defenders. Second and 10. Gibson shifting his Gibson. Just a magical hesitation. Antonio Gibson has put the Patriots back in front.
And you'll be on HBO. And you'll be the stars of the show. Hard Knocks next August. That's right. It's happening, Andy. Calling it today. Pats are going to be on Hard Knocks next summer. You're going to have to watch the whole thing and talk about it every
day. Oh, hell no.
Day. Oh, yeah, hell yes, you will.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, you're going to have to. So the two highlights you heard on the rejoin, quickly assembled, nice job as always, Joe Braverman, were from tight end Austin Hooper and running back Antonio Gibson. Dare I say, while I still believe the team needs a little more speed at the running back position, and we could use a youth infusion at the tight end position, I believe that Austin Hooper and Antonio Gibson would be assets to the 2025 New England Patriots. When called upon, though both are second stringers or reserves or 1As, if you will, they both have been better than not. They have, I would say, Austin Hooper has pleasantly surprised me the last several weeks. The big catch last week on Drake May's improvisational 4th and 15 from midfield. Today, a beautiful catch by the goal line. Finishing with, let's see right here, Austin Hooper. He had 4 for 40 and a tutty.
Which, by the way, that touchdown, I feel like it was intended for Polk. Did you notice on the replay that Polk sort of had his hands ready to catch it?
Oh, guess what? I'm sure we'll be hearing about that on social media soon.
I think Polk screwed that up. I think Polk was supposed to be running a fade to the back pylon, and he stopped near the front pylon, which is where Hooper's supposed to be.
Right. You shouldn't have both guys there. It was Matt Patricia's offense that was famous for stacking two guys in the same space.
There's been more of that in the Alex Van Pelt offense than you'd like to think. I thought on that third down early on the goal line, they had like three guys at the goal line within a short distance of each other running a mesh concept, as some of the All-22s like to tell you. They didn't mesh properly. It wasn't a good mesh.
Son of a blank. Well, anyway, what do you think about that? Hooper and Gibson. Would you offer them a spot in next year's roster?
100%. Why wouldn't you?
I believe Hooper's on a one-year deal, Gibson on a two-year deal. So
yeah, no, I mean, if you were picking guys that have actually been competitive and productive this year, they're on the list. It's a short list, and they're on the list. They absolutely fill out the depth chart nicely. Now, I would like to add a youthful playmaking tight end, whether that's Jaheim Bell, rising to the occasion, or somebody else of a higher pedigree, so to speak. But no, those guys are far from the problem. The problem is going on elsewhere. We still have the wide receiver problem. We still have the offensive line problem. It doesn't change. I know we can pretend like we're going to talk. We dig deeper on the Six Rings post-game show. We go where other places won't go. No. You know where we should go? The offensive line and the wide receiver position. Sure. But
you're already there.
It's true. Nah, it doesn't feel like it, though.
No,
I need to go out that door and get an eggnog if I want to really feel home.
Oh, is it? By the way, it's a fish. I was thinking on the drive in today, like, damn it, Hart's going to get to a nog before me tonight.
You damn right. It is officially eggnog season. It's also officially Andy's new 15-foot-tall abominable blow-up season, because that
Whoa, I wasn't sure where that was going.
Abominable.
The guy from... Yeah, Andy's new, when you said Andy's new 15-foot-tall, I looked at Braverman like, get the dump button ready.
Nope. I'm looking out the window now.
You got a 15?
Also, I knew it wasn't possible because 15-foot would have to be three Andy stacked on top of each other.
Wow.
Maybe four.
Short. Son of a gun. Andy, where'd you get a 15-foot abominable snowman?
Well, they're not a sponsor, so I don't need to say, but I ordered it on the internet.
All right. There
the
you go.
The beauty of the internet. You can find it. I found a 35-foot-tall Grinch, but the problem
is... What are you? Dozen Andy's.
That, how does that thing not just absolutely blow over and cause, like, crash into a house?
I don't know, but I'd like to find out. Unfortunately, it was $1,800, so I won't be finding out.
$1,800? Is the website that you purchased the 15-foot-tall abominable snowman from, if you rearrange the letters, does it spell mute?
No, it's a you a sucker. No, it's not. The one I got this from is actually from a very reputable website. And the other one was a pretty reputable website, too. But if I ordered an $1,800 inflatable
out sleeping in the yard,
I'd be sleeping on top of the inflatable
Jesus, the
in the
fifth
yard.
Time Hart has texted me, hey, is there room at your place tonight? He knows I don't even live in this damn state. Can't afford it. All right, back to the phones we go. I'd love to. But all right, let's see if he kept his word. Last week, this caller, our favorite of the many international callers on the Six Rings postgame show, promised us he would spare himself the grief of watching the game, and we would have to actually recap the game for him so he could provide his thoughts and analysis. But guess what? It seems like he caved anyway. Hello, Jake from Australia.
Howdy, howdy. We were almost going to get rowdy.
That is true, and then we got sad.
I didn't watch the first quarter. I woke up. I'm like, no, I won't watch. Check the score. Mm-hmm. But, all right, this is close. Turned on Zoe, listened to Zoe, and I'm like, right, I've got to go to work, so I listened a bit more in between customers, and I'm like, oh, no, this is great. I was trying to hold my excitement in, and then I got depressed, and the customer asked me what was wrong.
And you said it was those no-good GD Patriots again, even though I promised Fitzy and Hart I wouldn't watch. I did. I couldn't help it.
Just hey, I didn't out. Watch. I listened to the radio, so slightly technicality there that I got around it.
Wow, Jake, may I ask what do you do that you have customers?
Gentlemen? I am your friendly neighborhood pool boy.
You, Jake, the oh my God, Joe Braverman. In my dreams, I would have hoped that Jake from Australia was Jake the pool boy. Oh my God. That is outstanding, Jake. So Patriots games keep you company when you rise, shine, and grind, sifting little critters out of the filters and reattaching liners.
Very much so.
Oh, see, now someone in our Twitch chat, John in the car. Damn it, the Patriots lost because Jake watched. He broke his promise.
Okay, nice job, Jake. It's all on you.
All right.
Jake, did you see enough?
Sorry,
that, Jake, did you see enough? Did you see enough that you feel this was a more positive net experience than negative?
Yes, there's enough to go. May is definitely going to be our long term. Mm-hmm. Negative on what has happened to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to know what would happen to Mayo if we took Evan away from him. If he could coach on instinct or if he would crumble.
That's a great question. You know, Jake, on that note right there, we will wish you a happy bye week. Enjoy your Patriots your Foxborough frustration free week. Get them pools clean. Happy holiday season, and we'll talk to you soon, pal.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. It's Jake from Australia. That's Andy, that is actually, Jake may have given us like a topic for one of these breaks on this show.
He what did, because it ties into...
If Mayo had to coach on instinct and didn't just... And wasn't being Geppettoed by Evan Rothstein.
Well, it ties into his press conference on Friday in the wake of Matt Eberflus's idiocy and subsequent firing.
That was
and Gerard Mayo was like, oh yeah, I called Evan to talk about how we would handle that. And it's like, wait a minute, you couldn't just sit down, look at the situation, and analyze it yourself?
Well, I tried to divine it, but I think it's smart that he was wargaming with like his guy. But if we're finding out that his guy is the one who's controlling all the puppet strings, then I'm going to be a little disappointed that he's not coaching on his own.
You liked it when you thought Ernie was Bill's Geppetto.
No, I didn't think he was his Geppetto. I think
a little bit differently.
Hey, Coach Mayo, let me ask you a question. does Evan Rothstein basically make all of the in-game decisions for you, including when it comes down to things like, I don't know, challenges, what you should do with your timeouts, and handle crunch time?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Well, when do you want to get into it? I mean, we've got 2 more hours of post-game show.
That's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Do you think I should ask Evan if Evan should approve?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
God's sake.
Does he tell you when to go pee, too?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Coach, have you ever referred to anything good as balls before in this life?
It's a good question. I just don't want
to. That's all we do is ask good questions on this show.
That's right. We don't have many answers. We're a lot like Coach Mayo, but we ask a lot of good questions.
All right.
I think that's a fair question, though. Is
it is
Evan Rothstein too influential, or is Gerard Mayo too much leaning on Evan Rothstein? Is he too much of a crutch to overanalyze everything, to overthink everything?
I feel like you and I know enough people that we could send a text message or two and find out.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
And then get fired.
I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out in the coming weeks, because I do think, as Burt Breer reported, Gerard Mayo's going to be back. Everybody else, not so sure. I do think you're going to start to see some CYA lookout for number one. Yeah, and I'll be interested to see if we start to hear rumors and reports and sources. And I mean, I think Alex Van Pelt has done it. And not in a behind-the-scenes kind of way. I think Alex Van Pelt's actually been out in front. Every time he speaks with the media, whether it's at a press conference or on the Jones and Keefe show, I feel like he's been kind of touting his own accomplishments and kind of telling you what he does and how he feels.
Did he take credit for putting Malcolm Butler in on the goal line in Super Bowl 49?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
I wasn't asking you, Coach.
You know, Gerard referenced that basically as to why they didn't call timeout earlier in the Colts drive.
So hey,
that's what he's talking about. They don't call timeout. We call timeout kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know if I like that really. Like, make a decision. Don't be like, well, Bill once upon a time didn't call timeout and it worked for him, so I'm just not going to call timeouts. They're dumb. Like
someone in the Twitch chat, Armand_Goldman, says, "Lol, Jake is a pool man on Australian OnlyFans."
Well, that's the first thing I thought of.
Right.
Sounds
like a handsome guy.
Yeah. And he's got an Australian accent, so.
Most people in Australia that are from Australia do.
Well.
That's how that works.
Not all.
Here's a Jake that doesn't have an Australian accent. Hello, Jake from Boston.
We wish he did.
No, I don't. And it's hard to follow up the WEI equivalent of Brock Davies from Vanderpump Rules, if you bros know who that is.
Deep cut.
First of all.
Yes.
I'm glad you guys know it. Tells you're with it somewhere. First of all, apathy down in Foxborough is obvious at this point. You could not give those tickets away today. Robert probably had to bribe Sean McManus to sit in his owner's suite. And that Colts superfan Seth, who sings those songs and won their Fan of the Year, he couldn't even take a real shot at us. His line was simply, brand the Patriots. Lame. Anyhow, game was a good one, because the entire goal for the rest of your season should be to draft Will Campbell. And thankfully, Joey Sly didn't screw that up like last year on Christmas Eve in Denver, which cost us the 2 pick instead of the 3 pick. Not that I have any problem with Drake May right now. But the other piece of why you want to tank is this is not a great QB draft. There is no clear-cut number one pick. If you are dumb enough to pick Travis Hunter, a two-way player who's not going to play two ways at number one, you deserve to be fired as a GM. You have Shador, Beck, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, even Quinn Ewers, they all have major flaws that should scare any GM, which means that the other players in that draft are going to be higher on that board than they will be last year. You're not going to have a draft where the first defensive player is picked, 12th like last year? So you're going to have to sit in that 2 spot if you want your choice of a non-quarterback player. That is why today was great. That is why 3 wins I would like to stay at. I like the compete level. I like what Drake did today. You give me Drake, Will Campbell, and some cap space that maybe your owner will have the gall to spend this year, and I like where we're going.
Jake from Boston, thank you very much. By the way, that noise, if you're a listener on the regular to Six Rings, that is the sound that the goalpost made when Chad Ryland missed his first kick last year in Denver. That's known around here as Ryland's doink. Because it doinked off the uprights. No,
I got it. By the way,
Andy, I just watched on Twitter right here, our pal, who just shared this a few minutes ago? Andrew Callahan. He took an angle from the end zone from the Indianapolis Colts social media team of Anthony Richardson's two-point conversion to end the game. The offensive lineman that was locked up in the mano-a-mano battle, if you will, with Christian Barmore, just flat-out dragged him, literally grabbed him and pulled him to the ground.
See, I saw that making the rounds, and first of all, they
Is that legalish?
Well, I think it's a chop block, if anything. It's a high-low. You can't high-low a guy, and he basically had high-load. There's one guy under his legs, and another guy hits him up high, and he goes down. I saw it live, and I was like, I wonder if they're going to call it chop block here. They didn't. I don't think you're going to get that called a lot, sort of in that game-changing tight situation on the goal line. But I definitely thought they could have called a chop block there because you're not allowed to go at a high-low a guy. That is, I mean, he basically did what people do. You know when they get down on all fours and then somebody pushes them from in front and you go over the back of them? You're not allowed to do that in any
level. Looking at this again, there he is, and just flat out gets, and that's exactly where Richardson ran.
Yeah.
There was nothing open for him until this guy just comes up from underneath the backside of Duggar, of Barmore and pulls him to the ground.
Takes him out.
I feel differently about all of this now.
I don't think he could have pulled him down. I think he got hit from in the front. But you can't have a guy behind you and in front of you like that. That's a high-low block.
That's right.
So but,
there we go. Yep.
Oh,
that makes it even worse. And then 56 is celebrating in the end zone like, yeah, we just got away with a high-low.
Yeah.
You sons of
blank. It could have been called, and that changes the game.
Isn't there a penalty on every play? And everyone that's funny in the audience. It's not like, yeah, of course there's a penalty on every play in the Patriots. There is a penalty basically on every play.
Yeah, and I know we're getting ready to go to break, but I'd like to talk about some of this because I got into a good battle. The Hunter Henry play where he took a helmet to the face early and they claimed it was an abdomen thing. He looked like he got his bell rung. People wanted basically a 15-yard penalty.
It looked painful. I'm not gonna lie. I was down there. I was like 15 yards away from there.
It's absolutely painful. It's called football, but to me, that's the epitome of he's a runner and guys lower contact. Generally, the offensive guy goes down, the defensive guy goes down, and a lot of times their helmet hit. People wanted that to be a 15-yard penalty. It's spearing, which it's absolutely not spearing. He didn't launch himself. He did lower his helmet a little bit, but he was trying to lead with his shoulder. If you watch it, he actually turns, leads with his left shoulder. But people struggle with this all the time. What's attached to your shoulders, Fitzy?
It's not much.
The damnedest thing. Well, you in particular, not much. Most people, a head. And so when the shoulders go in a direction, the head has to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting into even the, we had another example. I know I've been in many fights over this, but the Trevor Lawrence slide, which led to a hit.
I'm sorry. That was a bad one.
Well, it was a late slide, and it's same thing that happens all the time. It's why I've told my son, don't ever slide. It's why I would coach any quarterback I had to never slide. You were right. It's a penalty, but guess what? It's a penalty and you're out the game. The example I used, people were giving me a hard time because I believe you shouldn't slide as a quarterback. It's like putting your head on a tee.
You're a fan of the Jim Mora head first.
Yes, control
lunge.
Where your head goes.
Yes.
Take control of your trajectory and protect yourself. But some guy's like, oh, so it's Lawrence's fault? I'm like, no, it's not his fault. But guess what? If I'm in the crosswalk and a car going 100 miles an hour kills me, you know what I'm in? I'm in the right. You know what I'm also in? A coffin. I'd rather be alive.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're right or not. You're
right.
Dead.
I'd rather be alive, right? So sometimes you need to do what's ever in the best interest of yourself, and I think that's why I would never have anybody, in most circumstances, slide again, because most of these athletic quarterbacks slide late, and there's a safety or a linebacker coming with a full head of steam who Newton's law, or somebody's law, I don't know, objects in motion tend to stay in motion, and they take their head off.
That's physics 101. Braverman, we'll allow that one? Okay. Let's sneak in one more call before the break. Eric is calling from the Dirty Jurors. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
How are you, guy? Glad to hear from you.
Good. Kyle Duggar, what are we doing here? $17 million a year. Last week, 4 touchdowns. This one, game winner. 5 years, still the same player. And this is a guy that you, again, Elliott Wolf paid. Again, if you look at all Elliott Wolf signings this year, just quite haven't really panned out. I mean, this guy's supposed to be a leader of your team. And again, just shows up constantly at the worst times and without making plays. You know, how do you progress this defense? And is this culture just moving forward if one of the guys that you paid big money to, you know, supposed to be, you know, a captain, you know, isn't performing on the field? You know, this isn't, you know, Haslam with the Heat, you know, guy just there, you know, a figure. you know, just that culture here. So, I mean, you look at it, you know, grand scheme, you know, it kind of really ties into Elliot Wolf and just the signing and the guys you decide to pay money to. They just haven't performed. And obviously, Jabril Peppers' situation kind of speaks for itself. But, you know, I just don't see Kyle Duggar just being improved in any sort of the way when the main job, you know, your role as a safety, you know, is coverage. And I'll take it off the line. Thanks, guys.
Well, we appreciate the call, Eric. Thanks so much. And have a good good rest of your Sunday. Yeah, he hasn't been great in coverage, Andy. Honestly, like the good run stopper, great at the line of scrimmage. But once things get, let's say, once things, you know, steer toward the second level, let alone the third, Kyle Duggar, liability. Now, I understand the ankle issue has been an issue for him. That injury has nagged him for weeks now, kept him out of three games. I think it's still bothering him. Perhaps he's playing through an issue. That being said, it's not exactly like he was, you know, freaking Christian Gonzalez in coverage beforehand. Nobody was confusing him with Darryl Green.
Yeah, I would not have re-signed him. I've said this all along. I think it's an investment that you don't get a big enough return on. I think there's too much replication of ability with other guys. But I also would argue on a more talented defense, he probably would be utilized differently. I don't think on the goal line he'd be covering a wide receiver. I think he'd be
box
more
safety.
Well, he'd be a linebacker. I think on the goal line he might be in the really truly in the box. I'm not sure you have four or five defensive backs that you think are better than him. He's still one of your more competitive players, sort of in that back end shell area. So I think there's a combination of layers there. But do I think he's a $50 million player? No. I said it all along. Cadlick and I had fights about him on Six Rings podcast back last offseason before free agency. I would not have re-signed him. I didn't think he needed to be part of the core. I would have picked Peppers over him. They decided to go with both. But again, they don't have free safeties at all, really. They have strong safeties.
They have none. We asked about that. That became topic number two for us in the offseason. First was, please, dear God, don't put in a right tackle that the Steelers didn't want anymore as our starting left tackle. Stop ignoring the offensive line. It's bad. Spoiler alert, it's the worst in the NFL, even if they had a decent-ish day today. Four sacks allowed. Good run blocking. And number two, no free safety is a disastrous plan, especially on a team that can't generate pressure in the pass rush.
Yeah, and they don't even have enough cornerback depth to sprinkle somebody in from that area because Jonathan Jones, Marcus Jones, and Christian Gonzalez are basically your only good corners. I know Alec Austin played today and actually made a couple plays, but I'm not sure you want him on the field an abundance of the time. So these are all roster limitations that are magnifying problems, right? Like we talked about it with holding. I think some of the offensive line holdings are because guys aren't good enough. They're getting beat. They're losing matchups and they grab. And I think defensively, guys are getting beat because they're in positions they shouldn't be. Jelani Tavai probably shouldn't be 30 yards downfield, but it is what it is. Kyle Duggar probably shouldn't be covering a wide receiver in the end zone, but it is what it is. These are the horses you have, right? And the Lord decides the rest, according to Jameis Winston.
From Bill Barnwell, before we go to break, coming off of Doug Kide's tweet about Gerard Mayo's press conference, Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo said the decision to kick the field goal over going for a Hail Mary was all on him. Sly was hitting the ball well before the game. Bill Barnwell says, a Hail Mary has happened a few times this season, and a 68-yard field goal has never happened in NFL history. So there's that.
Well, that's what I like. That means Gerard is not an analytics guy because he chose zero over something.
Trailblazer, they call that, Gerard Mayo.
I like it. Go with your gut, Gerard. I like it.
Now that he's gone with his gut and it backfired, he's probably not going to go with it again.
True.
And he'll just go back to Geppetto Rothstein. Awesome.
Yep. Probably.
617-779-7937 is the number. Hopefully we'll connect with Megan Ottolini right at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. More of your phones and more of everything that makes the Six Rings post game show the best post Patriots listen in town, right here on WEEI.
Is there any thought to taking a timeout maybe before earlier in the drive where the Colts ultimately scored, and what was the thought process?
Absolutely, there was a thought. You know, we've also, you know, won a Super Bowl here doing it the other way, and keeping our timeouts is what I thought was best for the team.
All right. I'm going to call BS on that one to anyone who says that was Gerard Mayo taking credit for the Malcolm Butler play.
Wait, did anybody say that?
Yeah, people online have been saying, like, oh, I think Mayo low-key was taking credit for Malcolm Butler.
Nope.
Come on.
I thought it was the exact opposite.
You said organizationally, like, it's happened, like, we've not called timeouts before. Like,
wasn't
that just
he
means
injured
Patriots.
And inactive for that game anyway?
He was not a part. He has a Super Bowl ring, but he was not an active participant in said Super Bowl game. So, yeah. There you have it.
I would have preferred he maybe take a timeout.
Today, yes, to slow the momentum down, even though when you say 19-play, 80-yard drive, it's like, well, so they averaged like, what, 4.1 yards per? No, there were some big plays in that drive.
And there could have been bigger plays if, you know, his
people held on.
Colts
to the ball.
Had hands instead of hooves. Out at
about that drive, Jabril Peppers was asked about the play call for the 2-point conversion after the Colts scored what ultimately would be the game-winning touchdown. Jabril Peppers said, quote, just a great play call for what we were in. Kind of split the defense. We had to respect the read option to Taylor. 83 was split out wide. He ran a little route. Got to respect that as well. Guard pulling, when it's a QB run, they gain the extra blocker. Sometimes it's more than the defense has to offer, so it was just a good play call for what we were in. We have to be a little more stout up front.
It's why I've been arguing when the Patriots need to go for two or short yardage plays, Drake May needs to be a part of the option, because I do think it puts a defense in a bind when you have a, you know, 6'4", 225-pound young quarterback at a mesh point with a running back in the backfield. It adds a layer to the defense that makes it hard. And Patriots really haven't chosen to go in that direction much yet, and they lost in the opposite direction today because of it. They couldn't defend it. Now, yes, we know, because it's really picking up steam. They got screwed. They didn't call the chop block. And I give credit. Now people are actually noticing, oh, yeah, it was actually a chop block. Phil Perry. That's the penalty.
Chris Mason... friend of the Six Rings podcast, I understand wanting to swallow the whistles with the game on the line, but the hold on Barmore on the 2-point conversion was egregious.
See, I don't think it was a hold. It was a chop block. If you want to call a penalty,
well, I appreciate you being able to see that. You know what? You finally brought something good to the Six Rings postgame show.
Suck.
I appreciate you teaching us the difference between like a hold or what would I mean? It's not a hold if you pull someone down. It is kind of that definitely falls under the domain of holding.
I don't think that's getting called there. The chop block could absolutely.
I think they just didn't see it.
No, that's not okay. There's a bunch of y'all. Where are your eyes if they're not at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage?
They have stared at Patriots games this year and not called face masks in which Antonio Gibson was looking north and then his contact with the defender led his face to look south.
But why do we?
Because they're not Chiefs games. They don't care.
Oh, we're not doing that.
I'm doing it.
People.
Oh, us people.
There is nothing that makes you people puntier than that.
Us people.
It's an embarrassment.
You know, Andy.
And Andrew, you know where it's worse? You know where it's worse?
Where?
It's really started to strike a nerve with me.
Where?
My son. Every time.
I knew I liked the cut of that kid's jib.
Thursday afternoon when we're watching the Prime game or whatever the hell it was.
It was on Friday. How'd you get a copy of it in advance?
Friday.
See, I knew it. I knew it. Andy was watching it a day in advance.
I got the early release.
All scripted.
And everything Herb Street would say, he's like, oh my God, why is he going to keep glazing him? Jeez, stop glazing the guy for
what is glazing?
I don't know, it's what the kids say.
It's another word for praise.
Can I say that on the radio, Joe? I probably should have had this conversation before I made the comment.
You probably should have.
Can I say that? That's what the kids
say. That was pretty,
sure, why not?
You should have asked Joe before the show. You didn't. That was pretty glazy of you.
No, that's totally different and wrong. And you sound like the old man in this now. And I'm the cool guy using it properly.
I am the boomer in this.
Oh, like you two aren't some young bucks out there who knows the kids' lingo.
Oh, I know the lingos.
So the fact, that you said lingos means that you don't.
It's fire. Pause.
Oh, that's wow. With that, coming in off the top rope with the 2010s, huh?
But that was
garbage. No, the Chiefs do get called. It looks like a different game is officiated for the Chiefs.
Well, I saw somebody tweet, and I don't know if it was sarcasm or not. Like, yeah, like at least the Patriots were likable when they were getting all the calls.
No, I do remember seeing that on Twitter,
too. That's someone being dead serious.
No,
which
it can't be.
That's lolorific.
Because you people were the least likable team that ever existed. The Chiefs are way more likable. Andy Reid is likable.
Oh, you were what, an angel during that time?
No, never been an angel in my life. Never will be.
Nope.
Never even going to make it up into that area with the angels.
Nope.
But Andy Reid is likable. Can we agree on that?
Of course he is.
Okay.
And those commercials? Like that
bundle
most
Ruski do.
Bundle Ruski.
Bundle Ruski.
I'm not saying that.
Bundle Ruski. I'm not saying that.
So don't tell me the Patriots were likable. You were getting all the calls. You were getting glazed for a decade. It was glaze, 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 glaze. Robin Glazer now runs the show. That's why. Because it was glaze, 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 the Patriots. And now it's the Chiefs that are getting glazed. It's their turn. They've earned this opportunity. Even though they kind of stink this year, they just somehow find a way to win.
The fact that they are 11-1 is one of the great mysteries of the world.
Kinda. Yeah, they're
11-1.
Yeah. And I also just, I don't think they're very good. I also wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs.
No, but I'll tell you what, this is one of those like crossroads moments for me. Tonight, I'll be watching the Sunday Night Football game. And don't forget, at the conclusion of the six rings and football things, I have a nice meal, a warm bed, a world-class beer or two to consume this evening. I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
A freaking weather game.
That's what it's all about.
There's like 50 inches of snow.
Bare minimum. Per seat.
For a team that doesn't know about snow's existence. San Francisco.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They're toast. Josh Allen kicking ass tonight.
Yeah, I know. Like, have you seen all of the props, though? Like, who the hell thinks Brock Purdy's going to throw for 230 yards in this game?
No, but I'm going to open my FanDuel app.
I was going to say, jump in now while the jumping's good.
Put a little something on that.
I will be rooting for the Buffalo Bills to win this game tonight. Not because I am turning on Pat's Nation, but because I am steering my emotion. I still want the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl because this just in, folks. The New England Patriots have been eliminated from the postseason.
Why are you replaying something from August?
For the third straight year, a losing season is clinched. No playoffs for you. But on the bright side of that pillow, if you will, the Jets have also clinched a losing season and have been eliminated from the postseason as well. So we got that to look forward to, which is
in their greatest season ever.
Yes.
Screw the Jets. No, I was just going to say, in their greatest season ever, they've been eliminated from the playoffs. In their worst season ever, the Patriots have been eliminated from the playoffs. What do they have in common? Elimination from the playoffs.
Which I hold dear to my heart. But if the Detroit Lions, who continue to just hemorrhage starters on defense, they've lost three in the last month and a half. But that's football. I get it. If the Lions can't win, I'm gonna need the Buffalo Bills to take the Chiefs out. I need them. I don't want to see the Chiefs three-peat. That's fine. Right. If Buffalo ends there, why?
Because they're gonna surpass you guys.
No, I just don't want to see it.
People.
I don't want them to have three Super Bowls, and most Brady won in a row with the Patriots was two.
Right. I mean, they'd become the greatest team in history.
Nope. They don't.
Three Super Bowls in a row.
Nope.
Well on their way to being a better dynasty.
Nope.
Greatest coach of all time, Andy Reid. Greatest quarterback of all time, still Tom Brady.
I can't hear you. La, 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 la. 617-779-7937 is the number. We'll hear from Mego. We'll hear from Shime. We'll hear from you. Andy's got the thumbs up, thumbs down. Cars for Kids, player of the game. What an electric final hour plus we're going to have here in the Six Rings postgame show. Brought to you as always by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVA services. It's all available at McFarlandEnergy.com.